This conference is being recorded.
Hey, everybody. I have a good friend of mine named Craig Ballantyne on the phone right now. Craig is the person that invented TT Boot Camps. It's done for you boot camp workouts, and it's a pretty awesome. He's got all these info products. The guy's killing it with multiple six-figure income streams. And I'm really, really excited about interviewing my good friend, Craig. Hey, man, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Steve. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for taking the call. You know, just from, like, knowing you and working with you and being involved in different mastermind groups with you, I've just seen the way you think and the way you just get things done, man. You have a really unique way of looking at things and making things happen and kind of, like, cutting through all the bull and just getting to what it takes to make things happen and get things done. And I've seen you work with other people as well, and so I really thought it would be cool to do this interview. So let's not waste any time. Let's just jump right in. Hey, Craig, what do you think the key is to making a positive change in your business? So, like, if you're cranking along and you want to, like, really, really turbo boost your business, what would you say the key is to someone who wanted to do that?
Well, the most important thing is just to do stuff, and obviously you want to research all the options that you have, and then you just want to go and you want to get cranking on something, and you know, you might end up trying a few things, but, you know, it's like the old saying about how Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. You know, he didn't do it on the first try. It took him a few thousand times or a few hundred times or whatever, and my friend Yannick Silver always says, you know, out of his 10 ideas, two or three of them are awesome, and the other seven are okay, or, you know, some of them you might lose a little bit of money, but you just have to get a whole bunch of ideas. You have to figure out what's going to work, and you just have to go and do it.
That's very true. You know, it's funny. I was looking at my goals the other day, my goals for 2009, and I saw I probably had about 10 different ideas on there and things that I wanted to do. And I actually only did about three of them, but the three that I did were pretty darn huge, man. So, yeah, that's totally in line with I totally know what you're talking about. Hey, Craig, when you're building new things and making things happen and launching forward with your business, do you ever feel fear or doubt? Like, do you ever feel that?
I think I've kind of gotten over it. I've kind of gotten over the fear because you know, everyone knows Napoleon Hill has that book, Think and Grow Rich, but he actually has another book called Grow Rich with Peace of Mind. And in there, he actually has this two-word sentence that has really influenced me. And he's, you know, he's talking about how he's got all this stuff going on. But the bottom line is that nothing matters. You know, you can't get really too hung up on one thing because in the end, nothing really matters that much. So you got to take this long-term view that if something screws up in your boot camp today, that, you know, it doesn't really matter because, you know, you're still going to be running your business tomorrow and you're still going to come back and work. And it's not like you're going to stop if you have a really good day or if you have a really bad day. So, you know, that's gotten me over any fear of anything. You know, obviously you want to cover all your assets when you're doing something. You want to make sure you're not going to do something so totally stupid that you ruin your life. But, I mean, take a look at Tiger Woods. I mean, he's done something that was so terribly bad, but in the end, it's really not going to matter because he's always going to be playing golf. And so, I mean, obviously you shouldn't do something as stupid as what he's done, but you need to get over the fear of, you know, running a promotion and losing $200, you know, by doing an ad that, you know, maybe you shouldn't have done in the end. Or, you know, trying something new in a boot camp. You know, you just got to do all these things. And with doubt, you know, with the right mindset, it becomes a non-issue. You know, you're going to go out there. You're going to combine answer number one, which I said just do something, and answer number two, taking that long-term view that, you know, in 18 weeks from now, you're still going to be getting up and doing the same thing. So don't worry so much about what's going to happen this week because you're still going to be doing it really well. And if you have one speed bump in your life, you know, what's the big deal?
Awesome, man. Awesome. Hey, Craig, do you ever feel unmotivated? Do you ever have a day where you wake up and you just don't feel like charging forward?
I don't ever wake up and feel unmotivated. You know, there might be times during the course of a day when I've gotten a lot done that I'm kind of not motivated to do anything else. but I don't have to ever deal with being unmotivated.
Well, what happens when you have a less motivated feeling? Like, how do you re-motivate yourself when you do feel that way?
Well, usually, like I said, it's after I've gotten a lot of stuff done, and so, you know, you just kind of screw around for a bit, and then you take the rest of the day off or whatever, and so that's pretty much it. I mean, motivation to me, I really believe that you either have it or you don't. It's an internal thing, and that I can, you know, post a million inspirational quotes on my Facebook page, and someone's either going to already be motivated or they're not. So, I mean, I really believe that I can't motivate somebody too much, that motivation comes from within inside somebody, finding their own reason to do something. Now, you know, you might say, well, you know, other people go to Tony Robbins, they get motivated to do something, but I believe the people that, you know, succeed from Tony Robbins type courses are the ones that were just looking for a little bit more guidance than motivation. And, you know, not everybody who goes to Tony Robbins and gets motivated actually does anything. So I think motivation's a little bit overemphasized, a little bit overvalued, as opposed to getting guidance from someone, because everybody who's listening to this call probably has motivation. They just need more guidance on how to get things done and how to stay, you know, on top of their game, I guess.
Now, as far as
are you going to do that after every question? Just go,
You know what, dude? I do, and I heard Evan Pagan doing that, and you know what?
Oh, he does do that. You're right. He does do that.
It sounded cool, and I started doing it. Now it's kind of my thing. Like, I figure, like, I'll be the first guy in the fitness industry to do it.
That's cool.
Yeah. So basically, to answer your question, yes, I'm going to continue to do that.
Okay.
Cool. Hey, man, about the whole goal-setting thing, what's your take on that? Do you set specific goals? I know you do, but do you set specific goals for yourself? And if so, how do you do it? Do you keep them on paper? Do you put them up on your wall? Do you keep it on your computer? What's your whole goal-setting strategy?
I'm all computer, and so I have a huge document of yearly, monthly, weekly, daily, short-term, long-term, all aspects of life sort of thing. So, from social, financial, physical. I think there's one other one. I can't remember what it is. But, I have all aspects. I have tons of them. I review them frequently. I know what the daily ones are, so I don't obviously have to review them, but I review and track my progress against them. So that's kind of like the one thing that people kind of screw up on, is they make the goals. They might even make really accurate ones, and specific is what you really need to make sure you're doing, being very specific, and then they just don't track the progress towards it. And if you don't track the progress towards it, it's going to be difficult for you to reach and achieve those goals, but it's really just going to be almost a complete waste of time for you to even set the goals in the first place if you don't have some type of tracking and monitoring and reviewing system in place.
That makes a lot of sense. Wouldn't you say that, like, even part of just tracking the goals, it just keeps your brain working on it and keeps you just doing the different things to get there? Just like, I guess, like, if you were in a ship, right, and you set a goal to sail the ship, to another country, you wouldn't just say, okay, I'm going to do that, set a course, and then never check and make sure you're on track, right?
Yeah, you got to check to make sure you're on track. And then the other thing that I forgot to mention is you have to make sure that you're planning on how to reach it. So you have to be making sure that it's very strategic, that, you know, if your goal is to get 65 new boot campers in, and you can set that goal, and then you can also check every week how you're doing against that goal. But if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a plan for that ship, or if you don't have a plan for that goal or that boot camp improvement, then again, that's really going to be difficult for you to achieve that. You might end up with 20, whereas if you have a plan, you could end up with all 65 of those people. So you do need to have a plan, and you do need to track, and you must have those goals.
Hey, Craig, do you ever feel, with all the things that you have going on, do you ever have, even for just a moment, like a feeling of, like, overwhelmed, like just with the amount of stuff you have to do and with certain deadlines and stuff like that?
Yeah, it happens. And when I do that, have that, then I start to cut things. So this is going to sound terrible, but I know I'm overwhelmed when I yell at my dog. And I know it's not very nice, but I know that when I'm yelling at my dog, that it's not my dog. It's me who who has the problem, and so it's my responsibility to then become less overwhelmed. And so I immediately, you know, as soon as I'm done that walk, I come in, I start cutting things, and it may mean me canceling. You know, I may have set up an interview with somebody, and I will call them and cancel, and I will apologize. But it's much better off for me to have to make that apology and cancel things than to, you know, remain overwhelmed, which is going to ruin all my other progress towards my other goals. So
is that what happened when you canceled our interview? Were you just overwhelmed, man?
I don't know why I canceled the first time. Oh, okay. You know what? I had to go to the bank that day to get something done. No, I did. I had to go and sign a contract and send a check off to somebody, which was like due that day. It took me like 15 minutes longer.
All right. I was just checking.
So technically, I was overwhelmed with, you know, a literal task, but you know, we're talking more about, you know, your brain being overwhelmed here. And you know, I think that people just probably say yes to too many things. And you know, I know I definitely disappoint people when I call them and apologize, but sometimes you have to be selfish you know, you save yourself and you can push other stuff back. So don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed, because it's just going to stop you from getting so much other stuff done.
You know, I think that makes a lot of sense too, about saying yes to too many things. I know, like, gosh, I get approached, and I know you do too, like every day with people with like opportunities. I have this opportunity for you. And you know what? There's a million ways to make $1 million, but if you try to choose all of them, you won't succeed in any of them. You know, and I know for me, like, I had to learn to start saying no to people. And for me, the easiest way to do that is to really just follow my passion. It seems like when I don't know if this is like this for you, Craig, but when I'm following, like, what I'm really, truly passionate about, it's like, pretty cut and clear what things to say no to. And usually the things that I say yes and get presented to me are things that I can fit in if I'm really passionate about it.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. And the only times that I've gotten overwhelmed is when I've said yes to something that I wasn't an expert in and I wasn't super passionate about. And those have been very expensive mistakes for me, but those are exactly what you just said. You know, I wasted $35,000 at the end of 2008 and started 2009 by saying yes to something that I wasn't passionate about and that I didn't know enough about. Just because, you know, it was another person, you know, talking about opportunity, and I should have, you know, obviously weighed the options a lot longer and thought about it a lot longer. I said yes too fast, and eventually I just had to take a bath on it and, you know, and just lose the money, say no to it, and get out before things got worse. And so, absolutely, what you just said, if you're passionate about it and you're an expert at it, that's the other part of the equation. You can be passionate about something, but be incompetent at it, and that's probably going to overwhelm you as well. But if you have the passion and the expertise, then probably it's going to be a good thing to say yes. And you know, when it's something that you're not really good at or interested in, then you become overwhelmed a lot quicker because you just get frustrated with it. But if you're good at it and you're passionate about it, then you're going to be so much – it's going to take a lot to overwhelm you in that situation.
Very true. Hey, what do you do to get out of your comfort zone? Like, when was the last time you did something that you felt uncomfortable with? And I'm not talking about in Las Vegas when you went in the room with that one dude. I'm talking about, like, something in business.
That is so funny.
It's like,
well, it's to hang around other people that are better than you. And anybody, I'm sure most people listening to this call are, you know, have some sort of interest in physical training and that type of stuff. And if you have an athletic background, you simply know that, you know, when you were under 14 and you played on the under 14 traveling baseball team or soccer team, and, you know, this one game you played the under 15 team from your town or from another town, then all of a sudden you guys played way better for some reason. And it's doing that. It's putting yourself in situations where you're hanging out and being with other people who are better than you. If you want to go squat 600 pounds, you got to hang around people that can squat 600 pounds. You don't go and hang around the people that you've always hung around who are squatting 350 pounds. You have to do that. And so that's how what I do. You know, I go and hang out with, you know, people who are more successful in terms of building business aspect, you know, wealthier, more established businesses, more systematized, and I hang around those people to get outside my comfort zone in terms of business. And you know, if you want to hang around and have more fun in your life, you go in and hang around somebody else who pushes the boundaries, in like Yannick Silver, who wants to do all these crazy adventures and that type of stuff, like, you know, racing and jumping out of planes and all that great fun. So, you know, it's rare that you can push yourself alone as much as others can push you, you know, when you're hanging around them, and you, you know, that's the best thing to do. If you want to be better, you got to find people who are better, you know, not only finding a mentor, but also finding, you know, getting into a peer group where there's, you know, you're masterminding and all that type of stuff.
Do you ever have like a little, like something even small that you do, like, or that you've done recently where you felt like that little voice in your head, like, oh man, and then you just have to push through it? Does that still happen to you?
That happens every time I go to the gym. I mean, you know, I still train very intensely. I'm always pushing myself to come up with new stuff for the readers. And so, you know, I was doing push-up challenge on Friday afternoon, and you know, I wanted to kind of take it easy on myself. But, I mean, it always happens every time I go to the gym. So, I mean, I use that as kind of like the default answer to this with the comfort zone, because, you know, you can go in and train and do the same workout you did last week, or you can do a little bit more, and I always make myself do a little bit more. So that's an easy answer, but also just, you know, anytime I go out in a social setting, I force myself to speak to more people. I'm not a huge, you know, type of person who just wants to go and talk to everybody in the room, but I force myself to do more and more every time I go to a seminar to introduce myself to somebody new. And, you know, when I first started going to seminars, I was the guy who was the first guy out of the seminar room and happy to spend the rest of the night, you know, just in my hotel room or whatever, watching TV. But now I force myself to do more connections. So that's something I'm doing all the time as well.
So when I want to kind of go a little deeper into that, because I think a lot of people really want to know, when you see someone, or back, you know, a little bit, maybe not as much now, but back in the past, when you would see someone and you want to approach them and talk to them, and you feel that feeling in your stomach where it's like, oh man, that awkwardness, what do you say to yourself to do it, to overcome it anyways?
Well, that goes back to the two-word phrase that we talked about before, that nothing matters. And you just have to realize that, you know, if you go up to talk to someone, you know, first of all, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, I've had awkward conversations, and, you know, big deal, it was an awkward conversation. I mean, they're not going to punch you in the face, and they're not going to, you know, point at you and laugh or do anything. So, I mean, what's the worst that could possibly happen? And so, you know, you just think to yourself, you know, gosh, can I come up with something that we can relate to fairly quickly? And you know, you go up and compliment somebody, say, hey, you know, enjoyed your presentation. You know, if you can help them with something, help them with something. Otherwise, you know, don't monopolize their time. But just really, there's nothing matters in the end. 70 years from now, it's not going to make a difference whether or not you were humiliated by this person. I mean, and next week, it's not going to matter. In 4 hours, it's not going to matter how this person made you felt in a worst-case scenario. But in most cases, they're going to be a great person to talk to. So you just got to, like, whoa, nothing matters. I'm just going to go do this. And, you know what, here's a little adventure. And if you kind of look at it like, hey, it's a little adventure. What kind of mischief and misadventure can we possibly get into by talking to this person and having fun that way? That's another way to get people to do it. But again, just realize that absolutely nothing matters. I mean, like, in life, 99.5% of the things that happen in life don't matter. And, you know, some of the stuff obviously does. I mean, you want to drive safely on a highway. But other than that, I mean, you can really screw up in life. And you know, if you went up and were the most awkward person this person ever talked to, what really can be the negative to come out of that? I mean, nothing really. So, you know, just got to think about it that way.
You know what? That really resonates with me, man. That's really cool. And I think you're right. Like, so many people are just scared of being scared, of the scared feeling, not so much being scared of, like, what could possibly happen, just scared of an awkward feeling that can't hurt you in any way. And I think that's awesome. Just, hey, nothing matters. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to go up and do it. And you know what? It doesn't matter if it feels awkward, because I'm going to make some progress in my business or in my life. And if not, then oh well, I didn't lose anything.
Yeah, you just, in most cases, people really can't lose anything. And here's a really cool bit of information from research, is that when people were asked about their regrets in life, 75% of the people answered that it was something they didn't do. So it wasn't something they did. I mean, I'm sure there was some people that, you know, made a really big mistake in their life, like, you know, maybe they cheated on their wife or whatever. But 75% of people regret things they didn't do, because they never know how things were going to, you know, could have turned out, whether it was, you know, that girl in university that you never got a chance to talk to because you just, you know, you dilly-dallied around it and never got around to it, or was that one, you know, business connection you never got a chance to talk to at that seminar. I mean, I'm sure people aren't thinking about that at the end of their life, but, you know, really the bottom line is most people just regret not doing things, and they're too scared for some reason, and it's pretty weird. So, I mean, you know, definitely do weird things and, you know, build up your immunity to criticism sort of thing. You know, because you got to get out there and, you know, whether it's doing weird boot camp advertising or whether it's talking to people in a mall like you can do very easily, you know, you just got to practice that stuff. If you want to improve, if that's something like somebody sitting here and thinking, you know what, I really need to do more talking to local businesses. You know, for the last 11 months, I've been telling myself I need to do that, and I've set these goals, but I haven't really put a plan into place. All you have to do now is put a plan into place and just like, okay, this week I'm going to talk to 3 local businesses. I'm just going to walk in and talk to them. And if I don't do it, here's the punishment. I got to, you know, I always use the example. There's a website called stick.com, stick with an extra K. I always use the example, you know, if you're a Democrat, you got to give $50 to the Republican Party. If you don't talk to 3, you know, meet that, you know, comfort zone, getting out of your comfort zone goal. You know, I got to talk to 3 people. If I don't, I'm giving $50 to Sarah Palin. If I'm a Republican, I'm giving $50 to whatever, you know, the Democratic Party, if I don't do this. So you got to have that negative punishment in there, and that'll help you get outside your comfort zone. And then once you do it, it's just like practice. You know, if you want to learn how to juggle, you got to practice, and you eventually get really good at it. And same with getting out of your comfort zone, public speaking, all that type of stuff. The only way to get good at it is to do it.
You know, it's kind of like it's easier to pick up girls that are 9s and 10s than 6s, 7s, and 8s, because no one's talking to the 9s and 10s because they're so scared. So it's like no one approaches them. And if you just approach them, then, you know, like you're probably gonna have a great experience because nobody else is doing that because they're all scared.
And you know what? If it is a bad experience, who cares? Nothing matters. Move on.
Exactly. I really like that, man. Hey, Craig, what do you do to just stay focused on everything that's going on? To like, I know it's kind of probably a question for you that just, I know you're so focused all the time anyways because you have so many goals and the way you're very organized, but like, what do you do to stay focused, man? I hear a lot of trainers that are like, gosh, it's hard to stay focused.
It is hard to stay focused. I would say that's like probably my number one weak point. Recently I started doing this, you know, like daily journaling, like what I get done, what do I need to improve on, you know, what do I appreciate, all that type of stuff. That's another call for another day. But the thing that I always need to write, that I always find myself writing down that needs improvement, is focus. And so, you know, I'm just as, I struggle with it just as much as most people, I think. But I think things that can help you get focused and stay and you know, get more work done and get you closer to your goals is to immediately do something first thing in the morning. And I know a lot of people are getting up early, but when I was getting up early, I was getting up an extra 10 minutes early. So, you know, I had to train people at 6, so I was up at 4:40 to catch the bus downtown. That was a great experience. Anyways, I got up at 4:30 and I did 10 minutes of focused work. And when you work focused, you know, when you do something with just your mind intent on that one task, you really can get a lot done in a short amount of time. And so it's making sacrifices like that to really work around the time when you are focused until you can get to the point where you can mentally get yourself focused at any time of the day. So deadlines are another really good thing to get yourself focused any time of the day. You know, say I've got to get a, you know, this article done, submitted to wherever by 3 p.m. And, you know, if you said 2 p.m., you'd get it done just as well as you get it done at 3 p.m. If you said 4 p.m., you'd somehow find a way to get it done at 4 p.m. So really, two big things there. One, the deadlines. And then two, everybody should, you know, just monitor themselves and figure out when their most creative, focused time of the day is, and then build their life around that so that they get that time free to work on the tasks that are most difficult. And I know that's difficult for people who are most focused first thing in the morning when they have to go train boot camps, but if you're really serious about, you know, taking your business to another level or achieving some major goal, then you're going to have to find a way to get somebody to cover for those boot camps or, you know, to work as just as focused right after the boot camp or do whatever it takes to continue to benefit from that focused mindset that you have.
Hey, Craig, do you ever, like, with all the things that you're doing, what do you do to avoid getting burned out?
That's a good question, and so I don't really find myself getting burned out. Like I mentioned before, maybe at the end of a day when I've gotten a bunch of stuff done, I will generally just feel like, you know, there's nothing more that I can do, and so I will just stop. But the way that I avoid getting burned out is, obviously, I really like what I'm doing. You know, when I was growing up, I just wanted to be able to read, write, and continue to learn all the time, and so I've worked on designing my life for 19 years now, so, you know, I've made sure that everything that I do, I enjoy. And I also look at it as a game. So, you know, when I was a kid, I used to read, like, baseball box scores all the time, you know, when I was, like, 10 or 11 or 12. And so, obviously, I don't read them now, but every day when I take a look at numbers and stats you know, I only spend like 5 or 10 or 15 minutes on it the most, but that kind of, you know, it gets me energized, it gets me focused, it gets me thinking about ways to improve the numbers and stats. You know, how can I get more people to join my Facebook fan page? How can I get more people to download my free report? How can I get more people to watch the YouTube videos? What kind of videos do people really want? That type of stuff. And then it's just like this constant improvement. You know, I always tell people that I don't play golf, but I mean, those numbers are just as exciting for me as golf, you know? I mean, I would never start playing golf because I wouldn't want to lose the focus on what I've got going on here. And so I just look at it like a game. You know, I still play some sports and, you know, I still train all the time, but, you know, this game of business has really kind of replaced the game of some of the games that I used to play. And so that's how I look at it. And then, you know, I just would never stop playing.
So many people talk about the 80-20 rule. You know, 80% of your business has moved forward from 20% of your actions, and now people are talking about the 95-5 rule. Like, really, there's only 5% of things that are really, really, really matter in your business. What's your take on the whole 80-20 rule?
You definitely get more return on investment on some stuff than others. But you know what, the only way that anybody's ever going to figure this 80-20 thing or 95-5 thing out is by measuring stuff. So, I mean, if you are always, you know, getting all rah-rah about 80-20, you know, I read the 4-hour work week and I got to go all 80-20, but you don't measure anything, then you're just another one of those people who keeps on saying things and kind of looks like a dork because you don't have any numbers to back it up. So, if you're going to say it and really say you're going to live it, then you got to measure it and figure it out. And I can't say for sure that I have an 80-20. You know, I've got like a 50-50 in terms of some things. You know, 50% affiliate sales, 50% are my sales. So obviously I got to take care of the affiliates. But, I mean, whether or not it's 80-20 or 95-5 or 75-15-10 or whatever, it doesn't really matter. You just have to make sure you're spending time on the stuff that is really important. And Bedros has done a very good thing by, you know, giving that 5% thing and that mindset. And whether or not you call it 5% or whether or not you call it 80-20, whatever, all you have to do is make sure is that you're focusing on things that work and you're measuring to make sure you know what works.
Hmm. Hey, Craig, how do you stay organized? Like, what's your organization method?
Lists, planning, preparation, the right attitude, having things in a routine. And so, you know, the to-do list is there, very simple. And then at the end of one day, planning the next day and saying, okay, I know what I'm going to do in the morning. I know what I got to get done here. I know what I'm going to do in the afternoon. I know when I take my workout break. And it's very simple. I mean, when I was in university, I noticed that, you know, you could take I'm going to use girls as an example because it was always girls who were organized, right? They always had the nice notes. And you could take a girl who was organized and kind of like a B student in university, and if you take a look at where they are now in life, they are very successful people because they are organized. You know, they may not have been, you know, the most dedicated to studying. They may not have been, you know, they may not have the greatest, like the highest IQ. They're obviously an intelligent person. But if they're organized, man, that's what I would focus on teaching kids these days, is be organized, and there's no way you're going to screw up your life. Well, there is, but, I mean, in most cases, you're not.
Can you go a little bit more into detail about, like, the list and stuff? Like, how you, like, do you have a list in front of you right now that of your day?
What I have is a list right now it says there's one thing left to do today, and then it says Tuesday, I got film prep, I have to work out with my assistant some video script, and then I have to work out with my web designer some one-click upsell stuff, and then I'm filming tomorrow night. So I know what I'm doing tomorrow. I know what I'm going to get done. Then Wednesday, I've got, you know, three or four or five things. And then I have a spreadsheet that has all the emails that have to go out this week. And then I have next week's plan. And, you know, I have this, like, outrageous spreadsheet in front of me that I've been keeping since 2005, I think, of all my emails and you know, what's coming up next month. And it's very, very methodical, and I have income goals for each week, and I have sign-up goals for each week, and it's really, like I said, you just plug in and play in the numbers and keeping an eye on them. And so it's got to be, you know, I mean, you could look at it and say it's this complete mess of organization, but it's organized in a way that I understand things, and so that's all that matters.
Got it. Do you have certain success rituals that you do every – do you do any success ritual, like any mindset activities, any type of meditation, any – what do you do for your mindset every day if you do anything?
Well, the first success rituals is getting up early. That's probably the most important thing. Get up early, get focused work in as soon as possible. And then I have a bunch of things that I read every day, which are a combination of marketing mindset stuff, just some documents I've collected over time, lists of things that people should review monthly, weekly, et cetera, from guys like Dan Kennedy, Yannick Silver, this guy Frank McKinney, the guy Ted Nicholas, and then some seminar notes I just go through, and I look at one point from them each day, and it kind of, you know, it's like a horoscope. For some reason, it always really seems to apply to that day. You know, you can make it, you can interpret it any way you want, but obviously if you got something on your mind and you read a point from Yannick, you're like, oh, this totally applies from what I'm looking at right now. And so I do that, and then I look at a little bit of motivational stuff. I guess it's not really motivational stuff, but it's these 100 Kekich credos, this guy Dave Kekich, K-E-K-I-C-H. He's a guy who just wrote like these 100 things, and I review one of them every day, and most of the time they're pretty interesting, and then I pass along on Facebook, and then it's that's pretty much all that I do in terms of mindset stuff, because again, I think a lot of it's internal, but those things are kind of reminders of what to do and applying to, you know, how can I apply, like, you know, let's say on the Dan Kennedy list, it says make sure you're creating experiences for your customers. Maybe that's the thing that I look at today. And I'm like, okay, how can I apply that to what I'm doing today, you know, maybe to an email or to a video, okay, and then on to the next list and, you know, what's the one point I'm going to look at today. So I do that and usually get a lot of that. And again, other than that, I just think that really you can't depend too much on other people for motivation and mindset stuff. You gotta either have it or you don't.
Hey, Craig, what are some of your favorite books that you've read that have really, really helped you with mindset?
I'll suggest everything by Dan Kennedy. So he's got No BS Time Management, No BS Ruthless Management of People and Profits, and No BS Wealth Attraction. So just check out those. Are probably three of my favorite books by Dan Kennedy: The Time Management, The Ruthless Management of People and Profits, and The Wealth Attraction book. And those are very, very practical pieces of advice.
And is there anything else that you want to add to anyone who wants to really, really improve their ultimate mindset and just become more successful?
Yeah, I would say that you should definitely look into some of the stuff that people are talking about these days, like the gratitude journaling. It's basically just, you know, you're writing down every day stuff that you appreciate. And it really kind of gets you your head right about, you know, as much as you want to improve and make more money and stuff, you got to realize that you have a lot right now. I mean, if you make over $40,000, you actually make more than 96% of the entire world. So you're in the top four earnings if you make over $40,000. And I don't think a lot of people understand that and appreciate that. And so, you know, I'm doing all this stuff, writing down, you know, like, what do I appreciate today? Just started this recently. And I just kept on writing. I just found myself writing down every day, like, you know, this life I have, it's like so easy. And so it's just kind of like, you know, screwed my head on right, I think, to understand that, you know, work hard during the day, but, you know, don't get overwhelmed. You know, don't let that sense of overwhelm get to you if you didn't get something done today, because, you know, you've got it better than like 99% of the world. So, you know, definitely appreciate things. Also, you know, going back, just review everything I talked about today, because there's a lot of good messages in there. One other book that I want to mention was Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. That will really kind of screw your head on right about what, first of all, what people can endure and survive, and then also, again, it will remind you of how easy your life is. Even if you're getting up at 4:30 in the morning to train people, your life is still exponentially easier than what people have lived through in the past. And then finally, the last thing, which is, again, goes back to what I believe. I truly believe that you either have motivation and a desire to build a business and to do things, or you don't. And that's, you know, to make sure that you're not jumping from one program to another and spending too much time learning and not enough time applying stuff. So, you know, make sure that you are getting out there and putting your plan into place and doing stuff. So, I mean, two words it comes down to is do stuff.
Awesome, man. Hey, Craig, I really, really appreciate this interview, man. That was awesome. I really like the Nothing Matters principle, man. I think that's super awesome. Hey, man, if someone wants to learn more about you or get in touch with you somehow or check out your products, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know, the easiest way to get a hold of me is just go on Facebook and, you know, I'm all capped out on the friends thing, but if you go to facebook.com/ Turbulence Training fan page. If you just look up Turbulence Training and you become a fan there, I do Q&As all there all the time. You can send me a message on Facebook, whatever. It's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me, and, you know, everybody's on there anyway, so we can all meet and mingle.
Awesome, man. Hey, Craig, thank you so much, man, and I really appreciate it, dude. Have an awesome day, bro.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
All righty. Bye-bye.